Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His servant, Pastor Olaide Olaniyo. Be blessed as you listen.
Community service, for the sake of those who are not acquainted with us, is more or less like a town hall meeting. Town hall meeting in the sense that we discuss, amen. I don't like the sound. The echo is too much. Town hall meeting in the sense that we discuss things that are essential to our existence and our fellowship. Amen. And of course, you're free to put down questions you may ask. One of the things that we did say is that it is important, essential to ask questions, especially in church. Many of the things that we read in the scriptures are a product of proper questions that were asked by sincere people, amen, especially in the epistles that the Lord, by wisdom, gave the apostles grace to resolve, amen. So, we are encouraged to write questions, not contentious questions, but of course, with a heart seeking edification. Amen. So, I'll start from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Today we're looking at marriage, family, church life. Marriage, family, church, and community life. Marriage, family, church, and community life. I will just go as far as we can go, and then I trust God that the Lord will help us. Marriage, family, church, and community life. Amen. Now, we must understand that the first and most basic unit of the community is the home. Amen. The first and the most basic unit of the community is the home. Say that, church. The first and the most basic unit of the community is the home. And also, the first and most basic expression of the church is the home. Amen. Such that the first place that is given to you to express faith, it's not at your place of work. It's not even outside. It is within the home. So, one of the things that Paul admonished in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think verse 5 or 6 thereabout, chapter 5, he says, if anybody had a widow, if any widow had a nephew or children, amen. No, yes. He said, but if any widow had a children or nephew, let them first. I want you to underline that word first. First. Let them learn first to show piety or kindness at home. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Praise the name of Jesus. Let them learn first to show piety, holiness. The Greek word is kindness or benevolence. So the first tutelage, amen, the first tutelage concerning piety, kindness, that every soul ought to receive should be at the home front. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Should be at the home front. Now, that tells us why Satan attacks the home so severely. A lot of the assault of Satan is not even against preaching the gospel. It's against sometimes the application of the word in the home. And many times when there is breakdown like that, you see conflicts that You see a false representation of the church. You see a manifestation of the faith that is contrary to the intention of Jesus. Are we understanding? And many times you find it scaled out even into society at large. Corruptions, maladministration, bad leadership that we find today all stemmed from bad upbringing. Amen. Bible says, train up a child in a way he should go. When he is old, he will know what? So, when you see a person who is not doing that which is right, is a fault of bad training. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Is scripture true? Okay, I think I need to say that. Do we accept the authority of what is written there as the sovereign authority over our lives? Lift up your Bible. Everyone. Some people are raising up their phones. I've told you, when you're coming to church, you come with your hard copy Bible. Amen. Lift it up above your head. If you don't have one, then let everybody know that you are. Amen. Some people are opening their mouths. Yes. You remember to bring your powder. You didn't remember to bring Bible. Remember to bring everything. You leave your Bible out. Say, this word is God's word to me. It is the sovereign word and authority over my life. It has the final say over every issue. It has the final say over every issue regarding my life. I will honor it. I will obey it. I will do it. So help me God. Say amen. Praise Jesus. Now, it's important to say that because when you see things that get bad later in life, scripture says it is a fault of poor training. Because if the training is done and done well according to God, it doesn't change. That means God expects us to, by God's grace, do a sure work. A work that cannot be repented of in our children or in our homes. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So train up a child on the way he should go. When he is old, he will not. That's some audacity. That's some audacity. He said, even when he is old and everything in life comes at him, he will not depart from it. So if there is a departing, then the work was not done well. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So part of the challenge or part of the assault of the enemy is to ensure that people don't get it right. Get it right from the family front, get it right as singles, get it right as family people, husbands, wives, even parents, parenting. Amen. So you see that one of the things that the apostle Paul particularly, and of course other apostles, we are not presumptuous about, is guiding the people according. They didn't leave it to the interpretation of each individual. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They did not leave the matter concerning the life application of the truth of scripture to every individual. In fact, in our 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where we read, one of the things that Paul said is this. He said, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. Then he began to. So he began to, I believe it was the household of Paul that wrote to Paul concerning the church, the situation of the church in Corinth. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Say amen. Amen. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or chapter 2. Paul was saying that it was the household of Cole that wrote to him and said, please, concerning this matter, come and answer it. Because you need some level of apostolic insight to resolve even matters. That's why sometimes I'm a little bit confused when people sideline authority from, he said, it's my life. You don't know have interpretation of those things. And when authority is involved, it's not to interfere as it were, but to guide you according to truth. Amen. Amen. So this answer of Kyoko was writing to Paul because they began to see that there were varying expression of stuff that didn't seem right and became of concern. So they needed apostolic sight to lay things straight and bare. And he not only did it for the Corinthian church, he did it for the Ephesian church, he did it for the Colossian church, he did it when he was writing to Timothy, he said the same thing. There was virtually no church that Paul wrote to that they didn't give life applications of the word to the home. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because as husband, as wife, it's as children, you can almost intuitively think that you have the answer and you have the, even when you are walking in light, when you have revelation, you can feel or assume. But Paul didn't leave rooms for the assumptions. Paul laid out judgments according to truth, how the home should be run in light of the counsel of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So that a people can prosper in the will of God. Amen. Amen. So that a people can prosper in the will of God. So, if Paul had to do that for the churches in Bible days, then it is more imperative for us to know that the Lord will steer ministry gifts. Amen. To, by the help of the Holy Ghost, to see again how a people should comport themselves, amen, not only within the church, as in the four walls of a building, amen, but the composition of everyone that constitutes the church, even from the base of their homes or from the family unit, amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Are we blessed? Do we understand what I'm saying? Amen. I'll try to go as slowly as I can so that every one of us can prosper. The children, the teenagers, the married ones, and even our mummies. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, give me wisdom. Say amen. Amen. Now, one of the things that we must realize is that sometimes the challenge of a home, the home begins from the point where it is founded. Amen. Where the when I say it is founded, from the inception or union, marriage. Amen. Every marriage, every home begins with a union, that is marriage. And whereas it is important, imperative that every one of us, for example, like a company of young people that like we have, who are privileged, I use the word privileged, to know Jesus before the point of deciding or coming into the estate of marriage, it becomes very, very beautiful. Amen. Because then the process can be laid according to light. But it is not everybody that has the privilege or that had the privilege to be in Christ or to have known Christ before they got married. Amen. I remember one person was saying something some time ago. When I talk about will of God, will of God, will of God. And someone was like, wait. This will of God. Is it compulsory to find will of God? What of our parents that they are the boy? Maybe they got married as unbelievers. How are they doing well now? So why are you telling me will of God, will of God, will of God? And I laugh. Amen. Because somewhere, somebody just wants to justify the ability to take anything I like. You understand it? And God will make it work. Or we will just cruise it as it were. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Are we blessed? Say amen. Now, I said, it is not everybody that's privileged to know Jesus or to have come in contact with the person of the Lord Jesus before the marriage is constituted. It's not every home that is raised spiritual. The times that Jesus meet everybody differs, but it becomes more beautiful, amen, if a person has been in Christed and has been enlightened, illuminated before that stage of his life comes. Because then he can do or choose according to like. First and foremost, we must also realize that marriage is not a social concept. Hello? Marriage is what? Now, we must teach this. Sometimes we only leave it to couples who want to get married. Intending couples. But when we leave it to that, a large proportion of our community is left in the dark concerning the whole issue. And then a lot of things go wrong. And as we'll see in this teaching, we'll see that the issue about marriage is not even about the joining first. There's a whole world of things that needs to be resolved about it according to light. Amen. So, I said, marriage is not a social construct. Not a social construct in the sense that it is not... Most of the animals don't marry. They just copulate. When they are on it, they meet and then they give birth. But there is no marriage. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is no what? And that's where science is actually driving us. That, look, we are all animals. We are just higher animals. So let's just be free to just do whatever we want to do. And just, you are feeling high, you are feeling hot. Just do what you want to do and then go to another person. And tomorrow, let's just be free. You understand it? Like the animals do. You understand? Don't bind anybody down. It's a mind that doesn't understand the counsel of God. Amen. Now, I said, marriage in the first instance is the construct of heaven. And when God was thinking marriage, he wasn't thinking reproduction primarily. You know, so somewhere in our mind, we think the essence of marriage is reproduction. He blessed and said, be fruitful, be multiplied. So that's, go and ask the amoeba. Amoeba doesn't need to what? To mate. It's a unicellular organism and it divides. The way it reproduces is that it divides into two. Say, is it not God that made the amoeba? So, if God wanted man to reproduce without having a mate, he will not bring out a woman. Man will be reproducing like that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He has enough power to make man do that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, it is not primarily for the essence of childbearing that God instituted marriage. Say amen. God had something in mind. We see what he had in mind in the book of Ephesians. That Marriage in the mind of God actually represents a union between Christ and the church. So you now see that there is an eternal play, that concept that was in the mind of God that God wanted to play out with man. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is what? An eternal concept in the mind of God that God wanted to play out with man. Say amen.
Amen.
And the relationship between Christ and the church is a relationship between a savior and the saved. The relationship between Christ and the church is what? A relationship between what? A savior and the saved. So you now see that marriage relationship is salvation centric. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Marriage relationship is what? That is the crux at the heart of the marriage union is God's intention for salvation. Not reproduction. Not companionship. Not fellowship. Now, those ones are essential functionalities of marriage, but the very, very intent is not that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, many of the things and teachings that we have on marriage, even within the church world, do not see salvation first. So, many of those teachings do not see the intention of God as concerning salvation. All of the things that are taught do not revolve around the world of salvation. Secondly, amen. It's a community service that we're having, but we'll just try to lay things down gradually. Secondly, marriage, say amen. Marriage was made for the man that did not sin. Hello? Marriage was made for what? Adam, when he had not sinned. Marriage predated the fall. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Marriage what? So, number one, a fallen man, that is, a man that is laden with sin, we cannot fully interpret God's thoughts concerning union. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A fallen what? Cannot fully interpret God's intent concerning the union. Now, that means that a man would only interpret God's intent concerning marriage as far or as well as he has journeyed in light, or to the limit to which he has progressed in light. Let me say that again. A man, when I mean a man, I mean male and female, would only be able to interpret God's counsel concerning marriage to the degree to which he has journeyed or he has been purified from sin. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's why the concept of a perfect marriage is only possible among a people who are growing in light. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You didn't get me? The concept of what? Of a perfect marriage is only possible amongst what? People who are what? Growing in light. Growing in light. What I mean growing in light? People who God is continually purging them of their sins. Because the more sin is removed from a man, the more sin is removed from a woman, the more godlike they become and the more they resemble the intention of God in marriage. Are you understanding it? And then the more they will be able to create an environment for offsprings that are given to their trust to also be able to resemble or train up offsprings that God entrusts to their care to also resemble the intent of God. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? Hope I'm not too slow. Now, I need to be emphatic about some things so that we can see what God intends. Now, I'm trying to lay a foundation. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Now, to understand marriage, amen. You know, we are looking at the marriage, the family, the church, and the community. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. To understand marriage, you also must understand God's plan for the individual. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, because one of the things that has distorted the concept of marriage is the concept of partnership. And in partnership, I've heard pastors, and like I said, I really do not hold it against anybody, because everybody's interpretation will be to the degree that they have been purged by sin and from sin. You understand it? So I've heard ministers who have said the reason God brought Eve to Adam is to help him to keep the garden. How many of us have heard those messages? And so he said, look for a bride that can complement you in the assignment that God sent you. Have you heard that? And so you said, I am a pharmacist. She needs to be a accountant. So she'll be counting the money that we are getting from pharmacy. Or I'm a doctor. She needs to be a pharmacist. So I'm writing the medicine. She'll be paying. she'll be selling the medication to. And you find all sort of things. But amen. When you look at scriptures, amen. Some others said God sent her to go and help him name the animals. Amen. But when you read your Bible very well, say amen. Adam was already dressing the garden. He had already finished naming the animals. In fact, Bible says, God brought all the animals to Adam, and there was no, he finished naming everything, whatsoever name God called. So he was doing everything he needed to do perfectly. But God still saw that there was no help meet found for Adam. So you see that all of those theories, even though they sound logical, they are not the intent. And they are just conclusions that hearts came to because of the stage to which they have been purified from sin. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But when you look further, you see that the original intention for God was for a person or for a people who will fulfill the course of salvation. Amen. Who will journey to utmost salvation, or in Genesis parlance, who will take of the tree of life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the only thing that Adam had not done up until that time was the eating of the tree of life. Are you understanding? Now, so the coming of Eve was to aid him in the journey to the tree of life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The coming of what? Eve was to aid Adam to journey to the tree of life and partake of the intent of God for man, which is eternal life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when God said it is not good for man to be alone, he had some, I said marriage is salvation centric. Salvation centric in the sense that it has a salvation package for the man and for the woman. And the intent was that every one of them was going to be fully God's or they were going to be saved to the uttermost. Amen. Now, it is that salvation arena that God expects that offsprings also will grow in. Amen. Say amen. Say, but sin came. Sin came. And between Genesis and Matthew, or the coming of Jesus, even though we had patriarchs that obeyed God, journeyed with God, none of them could perfectly represent God's intent in marriage. Even David, who was called a man after God's heart. Even David, who was called a man after God's heart, could not, because sin had beaten man so down that man's capacity to relate or apprehend his judgment and standard was so erased. By the time Jesus was talking about marriage, Peter was asking, if the case of a man be so with his wife, he better may no marry you. He better. Because the things that you are saying, they are high. Because marriage is actually to run marriage, you must have life. When I say you must have life, you must have been purged from sin to a very high degree. That's why it's a commandment that a sinful man cannot take. Now, society now wants to lord the laws of an everlasting soul on natural men who do not even have faith. You see that? There is chaos already. When you want to hold a man that is sold under sin to the standards of a man who is journeying with God in everlasting life, the whole fabric of it is dead on arrival. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's dead on arrival because the capacity of that soul cannot relate with those judgments. That's why Jesus said, Matthew chapter 19, when they were asking Jesus, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He said that, what's written in your law? God made them. In the beginning, it was not so. He said, therefore, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Then Peter retorted and said, verse 7, amen. He said, his disciples said unto you, if the case of a man be so with his wife, it is good. It is not good to marry. When God said it is good, it is not good not to be alone. Then he did not say, why? Because then look at what they said next verse 11. He said, but he said unto them, all men cannot receive the same to him is given. Then the Pharisee asked him that, why? Yes. He said, why did Moses allow them to offer the bill of divorcement? He said, it is because of the hardness of your heart. Now, so the commandment that God gives is to the degree to which you have been purged. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But that doesn't reflect his perfect intent. Amen? Are you understanding me? Because I needed to lay all of this foundation because we are still going somewhere. Now I said, when the foundation of the home is marriage, but not everyone has gotten to light by the time they get to this point. Some people outside of light get married. Then they come into light. And please permit me to say this. There's a whole lot of misconception. I'll break some tables. If you like, throw the sticks at me. But I'll stick with the word of God. Say, I'll stick with the word of God. Number one. Say number one. I say it with all carefulness. I say it with what? All carefulness. And without any attempt to excuse any exuberance. But when we say marriage is till death do us part, what does it truly mean? And when we look at the contract of marriage or the coming together of marriage, I know that the church has preached God hates divorce, and it is an eternal truth, amen, that cannot change. What I say, it's an eternal truth that what? That God hates divorce, and tomorrow you will see hates divorce, next tomorrow you will see hates divorce, in the world to come, you will see hates divorce, amen? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. But there is a misconception to think that it is only death that voids marriage. There's a misconception to think that what? When you look into the scriptures, it is not so. Now, every single lie that Satan pushes is to create a burden that God didn't send and to weary a soul in the course of salvation. Like I said, marriage itself is instituted to interpret something in the heart of God. And the very breakdown of that thing is where the two parties in it are not together according to light. So the first ground that voids a union is unbelief or the departure from faith. Departure from faith. Someone feel, because I've heard stories of people who deceptively got people, in fact, Muslims who got married to Christians and insisted that they must stay in the union because they are now married. And I've had people, you know, this is a church and we must cater for every soul. We have people who have had to, who have suffered dehumanizing circumstances because some of them did not even choose by their own volition. They enthroned them to people who were not of faith. For example, these Boko Haram people that Chibok girls kidnapped, and they recovered one just recently, 3 children already. After almost 10 years. No. And you now want to put the burden upon that soul and said, because you have had children and whether marriage or anything to one Islamic jihadist, you are bound to that union forever. Hey, sometimes you hear ministers say something like, if this is what God says, then your God must not be merciful. Are you understanding? But the truth of the scripture is this, that departure from faith or a soul who is not staying in faith is dead. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A soul who is not what? Who is not? Marriage is for people who are alive or progressing in life. I'll explain some things so that it's important. It's important. Because some people, I pray that you never make a mistake in the name of Jesus. But some people make terrible mistakes. And because of the terrible mistakes they make, you want to sentence them into that journey perpetually. I remember, sorry, just a deviation. I remember when I first came to Lagos. Of course, after pursuing North, I came to Lagos. And I met one of the people who was a youth copper in Kebbi and was working in the same place where I was working. And I like, wow. We chatted and everything. Then after about a week, he told me he was getting married. And somewhere, I was troubled in my spirit. He said, who is the person? He said, the person is also a colleague. I'm like, wow, what happened? Pastor, what? I impregnated her and I'm a responsible man. I don't want her to suffer. I'm like, wow, that's very noble. But I felt a check in my spirit. I said, but you impregnated her, yes. And it's good that you understand, but must it proceed into marriage? He said, no. As I've said that none of my child will be born outside of wedlock. I'm like, he's very noble. But I feel that you shouldn't make a permanent decision because of a mistake. You don't make a permanent decision because of a mistake. Think about this thing. Pray about it very well. I don't say you should be irresponsible. Take every responsibility that needs to be taken. But he said, no. I said, okay, there's no problem. So he went ahead. They did the court wedding and everything. Wait for it. That was around July. By August, the wife put to bed. Then the father called him. Your wife put to bed. Normal delivery. He said, yes. He said, when did you say you met her? He said, March. March, April, May, June, July, August. 6 months. And it's normal delivery. Baby is fine. He said, the boy was so sincere. So sincere. He didn't even imagine that the father said, no, something must be wrong somewhere. So, by the time they pressed, they now discovered that the pregnancy actually belongs to another person when she was in school, because she came for IT, and then this boy collapsed in the hospital. He fainted. As he passed out. He passed out. They had to pour water. Of course, by the time he woke up, everything was already in jeopardy. The family was already insisted on everything. He came to me, Pastor Lady. I said, you know, I don't say, Sheba, I told you. I don't like saying. I said, what do we do now? Because now the situation is now more complicated than it was even before. So they had to go and file back in the courts and nullify the marriage on grounds of deception and everything. And it was a more complex situation because family was now involved. Then, of course, they had to contact the original man and everything. And it was just a whole mess. And sometimes you see believers who are sincere, but they are sincerely naive. They are what? Sincere, but sincerely naive. Sincerely naive in the sense that they feel that, because they have a preconception of what righteousness is. Because what was informing that brother is, righteousness. I want to do what is right and proper. But you don't even know what righteousness is. Because what you call righteousness is just some moral code that is not according to revealed truth. And it's not discerning. You don't have proper discernment of the situation. Amen. Now, back to the case in point, which I was saying concerning faith. That the very first thing that voids a marriage is departure from faith. That marriage is intended for believers. When I say marriage, according to God, not according to your state's union or according to procreation. Are you understanding? Marriage, according to the intent of God, is meant for people who are believing. Believe him. That's why when they say don't be unequally yoked, that admonition is correct throughout time and eternity. That you don't have any business doing relationship or marriage with somebody who is not of faith. You don't have what? Any basis. It's not I am lacking a life partner or body's doing shiki 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 shiki. So no, you don't know marriage. You don't know what marriage is for. Are you understanding? Marriage is more than the need for shiki shiki shiki. No, marriage is the intention of marriage. The person that originated that thing said what it is for is more than that. And to fully interpret it, you need a soul in light. Are you understanding? You need a soul in light. So you see, amen. I'm starting gradually. Amen. Say amen. Say amen. Now, when Paul says, he says to the to those. 1 Corinthians 7, amen. Sorry. Amen. Sorry, I'm going. Okay. The rest I speak, okay. From verse 12, let me just read from verse 12. Amen. Amen. Are you blessed? But the rest I speak, not the Lord. If a brother had a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him. So this admonition is for people who are already married. Are you understanding? Before they met the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, married before they met the Lord. He said, to the married, I say, if a brother had a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman who hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not what? Leave him. For the unbelieving. So, the condition is, if this soul, what they say, willing to dwell with is that, is comfortable with the law of your God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, in one case, you can find a person who, before they met the Lord, they had gotten married. Or sometimes it is one person that gets born again and before the other. But the condition for staying in that union is this person is comfortable with the law of your God. Are you understanding it? Is what comfort agrees with the law of your God. That is, he is not making any issues with the law of your God. He's pleased to dwell with you. He said, if that soul is pleased to dwell with you, don't put her away. But because the unbelieving husband here is sanctified by what? The believing wife. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is, the law of life that the one who is believing uses to live. Sanctify. Why can it sanctify? Because the heart is content to stay. He doesn't obey it yet. Are you understanding it? But he doesn't have any issues with it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He doesn't obey it yet. So, are you seeing why a person like that boy can marry out of the faith and then come in? And then they are still prosperous according to the will of God because of contentment to dwell with the law of your God. Are you understanding it? The willingness of a heart, agreement with the law of your God. So in the case where a people did not know Christ before their choice, but after their choice, faith does not become an issue of argument. Or, for example, the other person also gets born again. Then the Lord can help them move forward. Are you understanding it? He said, but if the unbelieving what? Depart. Let him what? Let him depart. The brother or the sister is not what? It's not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to what? Peace. So, what I'm saying is that faith is a principal ground upon which a union, marriage, according to God, can be voided. Because if that person is not content with the law of your God, you are not under what? You are not under what? The same thing is said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter, I mean Romans chapter 7, sorry, concerning the husband that died. That a person is free from the law of the husband when death happens. Amen. Because that's where we get that thing, till death do us part. But we don't take cognizance of a death in the spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Where a person is not in faith and is not willing to hold on to faith, even in the other person. Amen. Am I saying something this morning? Now, this thing that we are saying has put many people, especially women, in serious societal bondage, where they have been made to hang onto situations that are sometimes even in the jeopardy of their life and to the detriment of the work of salvation that God initially instituted marriage to push. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Now, why I'm saying this is this. The faith is core to the home. Holding faith is core to the fabric of what God calls home, marriage, union, family. When a man loses faith, he loses the license to hold a family according to God. Because you will make a mess of it. 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 And when God is giving you a wife, God is not sentencing that wife to perpetual bondage of whatsoever whims that comes to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God is not sentencing that wife to perpetual bondage. You know, someone said some time ago, I'm not an advocate of divorce. Amen? But there are manipulations that Satan has done around that doctrine to hold people in bondage. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, the goal of God, the intention of God is for salvation through marriage or without it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? True marriage. Marriage is beautiful. It will demonstrate something deeply about salvation. But without it, God will still work on his soul. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say amen. Amen. Here, what we are doing as a community is that we are trying to see the balance of this issue that God is showing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That we are trying to what? See the balance. I'm still coming. We are trying to lay foundation. And I don't mind taking as much time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, I say central to the core or art of family marriage is a soul holding on to faith or journeying in light. Or whose sin is progressively being undone by light. That's why when admonition is coming, you can't just pick anybody. You know, that Samson attitude. Take unto, for she pleaseth me very well. You know, she can please you and be undoing. Undoing both in the natural, but much more in the spirit. Undoing from the way of salvation. Undoing from the work of salvation. Sometimes you don't even have a problem in the natural. But most times you certainly do. Because that law, Satan is a bad father-in-law. Satan is what? Because when you have his child as your, he has a leg, he's a father-in-law, and he, as father-in-law, he can come into the house at any time, maybe. Yes, now, he can come into the house at any time. Paul said to some people, you are your father, the devil. So, Satan has children. And if you have his children as your fellow partner, then he has a stake. He can come in at any time. And I bet you don't want to have Satan as your father-in-law. Amen. Amen. So I said, faith is central to the idea. The very concept of marriage is for a person journeying in light. What do we mean by journeying in light? Let's see. That same Timothy, I mean, Corinthians. Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. From verse 34. He said, there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the what? Things of the Lord. That she may what? That she may be what? Holy, both in what? Body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world. How she may speak, please her own husband. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, sorry. Verse 32. Let's start from verse 32. He said, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that what belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may what? Please her husband. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, to progressively journey, the business of man, say the business of man. Say the business of man. The business of man is to primarily care for the things of the Lord. Are you understanding it? He said, the one that is unmarried, what is the business of an unmarried person? Is the Lord to what? Care for the things that belong to the Lord. Do you know that the same thing goes for people who have exited marriage, who are free from marriage, probably widow, widower, or separated. Amen. Do you know that's the same thing? First Timothy says it. So let's see 1 Timothy. So you see that, and I will still balance the issue of marriage. So don't say that marriage is the opportunity not to seek the things of. No. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm coming. I'm just trying to lay things gradually. Look here. He said from verse 4. Verse 4. It says, but if any widow have children or nephew, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Verse 5. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in what? God. And continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that what lives in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So are you seeing that the concept? Because if some of these things are not clearly defined, we will use our life for other purposes. So that if a man or a woman is free from the wife, amen, that time is to be given to the Lord. Is to be what? Given to the Lord. It's not the time for business, primarily. Can you have business? Yes. It's not the time to sit down at home and be watching African magic. Because that is what Satan designs for many people. You see, indolence and then, let's reduce the gain a little. Indolence and then, you have time. They said, scripture says, they soon become busybodies. They begin to meddle themselves in other people's matters. So he said, marry, or devote yourself to the Lord. In fact, one of the things that Paul said is that anybody that is not up to 60, ensure that they marry. And so, tell them, go and marry. Ensure that if you are exceeding a marriage, don't stay idle. Go and marry. Why? Marriage, when they say marriage is not, when they say he that is married, what did he say again? Care for the things of the world. He didn't mean that he becomes carnal. Because what marriage does is that God gives you a human vessel. Please this one for me. And as you are pleasing him, you are pleasing me. Yes. What marriage is that God gives you a human vessel and say, Charity, you've loved me. You say you love me with all of your heart. You see what? I want to dash you a man. I want to give you one of my son. Help me to please him all your life. And as you are pleasing him, you are pleasing me. What's your name again? Silas. This man has professed that. Oh, no, Dolapo. Dolapo. This man has. I will sing your song. The way you want to sing and play. Play me like a guitar. And I will dance like crazy. Glory. Hallelujah. Will ever be my song. Will you play me like a cymbal? Now I will ring. I said, I want to give you another vessel. So that you'll be playing. You play till everlasting doors open, fling and open wide. He said, yes. He said, now, you now see, because God, whom you do not see, you know, God doesn't interpose you. He doesn't interrupt you. He said, there's one girl that has my nature. He said, God, wow. In fact, God told me that he is an angel. She's like me. Then by the time the girl comes, say, wow. I'm wedding day unveil. Wow. God's blessing to me. See, I'm a blessed man. Then 2 months down the line. I don't even understand why you behave like this. Because all of the she's an angel. She's God sent. The imperfections now show. Because sometimes you see here that because God said, she just fits into me perfectly. But God said, if you can't love the man that you see, how can you claim to love the God that you do not see? Because the God that you do not see has more problem than the man that you see. Yes, God doesn't just take you. That's the mistake that many of us make. We feel that God is just perfect. He's just polite. You see, when he just say, oh, hey, everything that God is just a yes man, yes sir, and every single thing just say, yes, daddy, yes. But oh, Jesus, oh, if you marry God. If you marry God, Wasuku. Pastor Bianca said, Waku. Yes. Amen. Amen. Because man is still somehow, man is still ineffective concerning the program of salvation. But he is strict. Just imagine marrying a God whose eyes is too holy to behold iniquity. Always, you know, it's the loving part that we see, but it's also a consuming fire. Just imagine the God that killed Ananias and Sapphira out of love. The one that smote Og, the king of Bashan, because his mercy endureth forever. And Sion, the king of the Amorites, because his mercy endureth forever. Do you understand? The same God is the one that have us husband. Sometimes you ask him, why do you talk like that? You know, they asked Jesus why he was talking to the Pharisees like that. Because sometimes the way Jesus will rebuke a person, they're like, I thought you were God. God doesn't talk like that. You know, the way he talked to the Pharisees, woe unto you, you vipers. Then, like, he like me. Or the way he talked to Pilate, Aaron, he said, go tell that fox. Like, my God. You are the one that said, sweet water and bitter should not come out of the same fountain. Why are they talking? He won't take me. Do you understand it? Amen. But you don't know judgments of righteousness. So, he's doing it not because of righteousness, but in righteousness. But you don't have it. But to train you for him, he brings someone who is imperfect, who does it in unrighteousness, to train you for him. Because by the time he is doing this, your perception of righteousness is skewed. So he brings somebody who is imperfect. He said, tolerate him. And when you are trying to tolerate him, you're feeling that, I can't condone nonsense. This thing is not right. But the day righteousness brings what seems not to be right to you, you will attack God. Are you understanding? So, what God does is that, God, I feel for those of us, even who are married, is a favor that God brings to us to bring somebody in the flesh to interpret salvation. Because for those who don't have that privilege, they have to walk by faith. It's not as if God doesn't work salvation, but there is nobody at close proximity to interpret the work of salvation to them. So it's actually a blessing for a person to be married. It's help of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's what? It's help of God. When God brings a vessel and say, you see, I'm giving you, what do you call her name again? Sparkles. I'm giving you a sparkling sparkles. It's God's mercy. It's God's what? It's God's mercy. So that sometimes, you know, sometimes I just look at, sometimes I grumble. I tell my God, this is what I want, this is what I want. And he said, well, you're doing well. You are interpreting. I mean, you are understanding the relationship between me and the church. You are seeing sometimes how my heart grieves, wanting to love. Sometimes you are feeling my pain sometimes, wanting to be understood. Sometimes you are feeling, and sometimes you are understanding my position again when something is being done and response is not coming. And you see, when I'm not answering you, sometimes you are doing everything. You don't understand how salvation is playing out in soul. Sometimes I just sit down and you're like, wow. A lot of the secrets about salvation, the process, you won't understand it. You won't understand it. Now, a person like Paul can understand it because grace was given. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Grace was given. A grace worked out. And that's a tall grace. But for some of us that are kure, they give us the privilege of marriage. It's marriage that actually helps us understand. Okay. This, without that instrument, we won't be able to understand it. And we won't be able to cooperate with it very much. What I'm trying to say is this. Some people have abused the concept of marriage, thinking that, you know, that Enoch thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Some people out of spiritual zeal said that, I didn't go to that place in 1 Corinthians, Matthew 19. He said that it's not everybody that this thing is given. He said, let's go there, Matthew 19. Amen. Because some people, when they just read scriptures, you say, this marriage thing is not for me. And it is fear that is chasing them away from it. It is irresponsibility. They are seeing that not to be married is more difficult. Sincerely. To complete the program of salvation without marriage is more difficult. I tell you the truth. You only have to be. Go to verse 11. So, example said unto them, in the case of him, now, he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save them to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men, and there are eunuchs which have made themselves for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him what? Now, the truth is this. I know the scripture is true, but I said it sometime before. In my years of pastoring, I've not met one who would ask that grace from the Lord. Are you understanding? I've not met one. Now, before I started pastoring, I've read the stories of people like that, but the grace, because some people, some especially some of us that are younger, will have the thoughts in our heart. This thing is a working of grace. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's a working of grace for those who have the ability to receive that dealing for the kingdom of God's sake. Are you understanding? For the kingdom of God's sake. It's an administration of the Spirit. It's an administration of the Spirit. For the kingdom of God's sake. Amen. For the kingdom of God's sake. But it's not societal pressure that pushes you. It's not data from World Bank saying women are 70%, men are 30%. I don't know where you get all of those data from. They are not according to faith, as long as I know. God has a mate for you and you'll be settled. Amen. Say amen. And marriage is beautiful. Don't let the fear of marriage push any of you. Amen. Now let me progress a little. Sorry, this community service. Thank you, Dolapo. Now, I said marriage, the art of marriage is faith. And some people get into marriage without having faith. And if there is a decision, a willfulness of the heart to stay, Bible says, don't push them away. God may save your spouse. Amen. Praise the, because the relationship is sanctified by the other one. But if they are willing to depart, there is nothing that binds you in that regard. Why? There is something that the home should be doing. And one of the ground rules in the home or in the family is that they should be transacting in the law of God or using the law of God to live. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They should be what? Using the law of God. There should be an uninterrupted transaction in the law of God. There should be uninterrupted transaction in the law of God. Uninterrupted transaction. That is what they called training. That is what they call what? Training is not moral code. It's training with presence. Are you on? Say home training. Home training is not just, you know, sometimes what we call home training is how to keep the kitchen or how to go to market. Whilst that is good and that is valid, that is not the way a soul should go. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When I mean that's not the way you go, I mean that is not what holds a soul together. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? Training up a child is all-encompassing, but the springboard of it is presence. Is what? Presence. A child should be trained in presence. A child should be raised in presence. What I mean should be raised in presence? Should be raised with transacting in the law of his God. Now, every expression of life should ooze from that place. Attitude towards markets. Attitude towards home chores. Attitude towards elders. Attitude towards community. Every expression should ooze from an understanding, from submission to God and his laws. So, a child is trained with presence. Now, a person, say amen. Yesterday, Daddy was saying that when you read Genesis chapter 5, when they talk about generation of Adam, they then said, Adam begat Seth in his own likeness after his own image. Full stop. The question that I asked is, Daddy was talking about, the question I asked is, why didn't they say they bore Cain after his own image? Cain is the biological offspring of Adam, but Cain did not receive the likeness and the image of Adam. Why? That means he did not submit to training of presence. He did not what? Submit to training of presence. That's why he departed from presence. Now, Seth, however, submitted to training of presence. That's why I said, in the days of Seth, men began to call up. So it was not first what they did, it was their person. That's why they said, God had respect to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and to his offering. So it's not what they do, but the kind of discipline, the training, what the culture they submitted to. Now, everything that is expressed, like Bible said, that Hebrews chapter 3, said, they do always err in their heart, not knowing my ways. So, like you has been taught us, when a person doesn't do way, no way, everything he does will be wrong. You know, but now, we focus, when you say you are training a child, you focus on ability to cook. You can know how to cook, and yes, you are in error. Are you understanding? Because the knowledge or the life expression is not proceeding from a judgment of way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, the true training of a seed is training in way. When a child has been raised in the way, train up a child in the way. So, the true training is in the way. When you train them in the way, life expressions will now begin to come from the way. How to attend to elders. Because, so are you see, the discipline of parents is to ensure that a soul learns way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Am I saying it is wrong to learn how to cook, how to wash, how to iron, how to keep the home, how to respect it? Am I saying all of those is wrong? No. But I'm saying that if where that culture is not kept and held, you can raise a superficial people who show signs of responsibility but are against the way of the Lord. Because Cain was not irresponsible. Are you understanding me? Cain was not irresponsible. In fact, he was the epitome of responsibility. He built a city. He founded, he invested. I mean, he was industrious by every sense. So sometimes as parents, God has to help us. What do we really, what are we? Because in my years of pastoring, I've discovered that sometimes believing parents are the ones that are most against God. Let the child want to obey God first. Then you now see anger arise. Monique, I love church, but am I going to be messy? You see that really the parents still has hope in this world. And they want the child to serve this world, but they don't want the child to give them trouble. So they bring them to church. So that God will cut their excesses and not give them trouble. Then it will be something in this world. So when you now find the word against that child or killing the world in that child, you see anger in the very parents who are supposed to raise that child. Say, But what's the definition of the orire? Is it in the way of salvation? Is it prosperity according to salvation or significance in this world? Are you seeing? So everybody wants a responsible child, but not the seed that God is wanting. That's why you can't shortchange a soul. You can't bargain in the issue of marriage, family, concerning holding light. The culture they will hand over to children will not be according to truth. Amen. Will not be according to truth. It will be a skewed version. I said the home is the first and primary gathering of the church. Unit of the church, sorry. Yeah, the word is unit. Unit of the church or the community. And God expects that. I said, tell me, you are pastors. Now, I don't want to add any one of us, because virtually every one of us, and I say it without holding back, virtually every one of us did not have that privilege to have the most godly home environment to go. But God is saving us so that we can be more intentional. Amen. We can be more intentional. And God is doing a work of reconstruction. One of the things that the Lord I've seen God do, especially amongst us, is set the solitary in families so as to repair the desolations of generations and to repair breaches, places that have been damaged or that have been ill-formed. The Lord is repairing it so that a wholesome people can be raised unto God. Amen. So that what? A wholesome people can be raised unto God. Because God wants the program of salvation to progress. Now, say amen. I like responsible children. Amen. It's very, very necessary to be responsible. But sometimes responsibility is a cloak for unspiritual for carnality. Amen. I said, I like responsible people. I like what? They give you less headache. But sometimes responsibility can be the perfect cloak for carnality. And sometimes you need judgment to be able to divide the two. To see a soul, what it truly places premium on. Like I said, I'm not against a responsibility. Industrious. I am all for that. In fact, if you are laid back, you have an issue. Amen? If you are very, very laid back, I have an issue with you.
and I just ease you off gradually. Because as you are learning spirit, you also will become very, very... What is responsibility? Ability, response to your ability. Yes, that's our ability to respond. Or response to... So, if it's beyond your ability, it's not your responsibility. Because a response is not required of you. Amen. But what they measure responsibility by is by your ability. What you can do and refuse to do. They call you irresponsible. That means you are not responsible to what... You are not responding to what you are able to respond to. Or you choose not to respond to it. Amen. Say amen. Say amen. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? Now, still talking about the issue of marriage. Now, we talked about people who got married outside of faith. Now, for people who are married in faith, amen. Amen. It is pertinent to know. It is pertinent to know. Especially for us men. Say us men. You have a big responsibility. Oh. You have what? A very, very, very big responsibility. Followership is not commanded. Respect is not commanded. It is end. Say it is end. It is end. And that a person is your wife. Sorry, I say this. The reason I'm saying this is to amplify the responsibility of the man. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Is what? Amplify the responsibility of a man. So that you will not feel that because they gave you certificates, she's bound to follow you at all costs. It takes power to lead. And I say it with all sense of reverence. I say it with all sense of reverence under the Lord Jesus. If you are not leading to salvation, there is still a way out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you are, in fact, do you know that the commandment not to divorce or not to put away is for the wife, is for the husband, not the wife. Do you know that? You didn't see it in your Bible. That is in your Bible. But you think it is the woman that they are commanding. It's you, it's man that they are commanding. You didn't hear me. It is the man that they are commanding, not the woman. Let's see scriptures. Amen. Okay, from verse 10. No. Go to the 10. 1 Corinthians 7:10. And unto what? Can we read together? Unto the married, I command, yet not I. So who is talking here? Can you say it together, church? The Lord. I command, yet not I. So it's the commandment of the Lord. Let not what? Let not the wife depart from what? Our husband. Colon. The next one. The Lord gave condition. But and if. It's the Lord that is talking, you know. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, like I said, God hates what? God hates what? Say it. Let me echo you. I'm saying it in a sense that some men have taken this as an advantage to be irresponsible. To be what? And abusive. Very, very abusive. Kenneth Hagin had to teach on this topic. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. That teaching that marriage cannot be voided on every ground is unscriptural. Now, are we advocating divorce? No. And you should never have the hope of divorce in your heart. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? But the Lord, say the Lord, recognizes grounds on which a woman can choose not to follow. That's why a woman continuing to stay with you or to journey with you is something that must be earned and continually earned. Are you understanding? Like I said, I am saying it to amplify the responsibility of the man. Not just to give liberty to the woman anyhow. Are you understanding? But we must say it so that when we are leading, you know, like that David said in 2 Samuel 23, said that he that rules must rule in the fear of God. That's now that position of a husband is actually a ruler. He wants that ruleth his own house well. So every husband, say every husband, must rule his own house in the fear of God. How? The one that will earn followership from the wife, then the children. A life that the children and the household will willfully follow. They will follow, they will see the way of your God and love it. Or they will see the way you are going with God and want to journey your steps. It's not forceful. It's not by coercion. God expects you to lead a life in such a way that she will voluntarily, all-heartedly decide to journey with you to your God and your children also. He said that let the parents see that they don't provoke their children to wrath. Are you understanding it? Many of us men have handled marriage as if they don't have choice. Even in church. Now, we are not saying they have choice so that for every reason they can just, no. Because we have to balance it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, we are amplifying it so that the responsibility of the male will be heightened. You will see it clearly. That the way God wants you to lead is a leadership or rulership that is worthy of following. Are you understanding? He said, ye fathers, why didn't he say, ye mothers, provoke not your children? Eh? Eh? Why didn't he say, ye mothers, provoke not your children? He said, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them what? Up in the nurture and what? And the admonition of the Lord. So you see that a whole lot is hanging upon the neck of the man. To ensure that the household, in fact, what Bible says concerning Abraham is that I have seen my servant, what? My friend Abraham, that he what? He will do what? He will command his children, then his household, not just the ones that come biologically from his loins, also everybody that is under the, after. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and then his household after him. So, in the way he has walked, they will be instructed after him. They will like understand the manner, the culture of his life. He said, so, it's a tall responsibility. So he's not just a provider. What makes your husband is not just provider. He's one who is showing a part, or who is an apostle, who is a servant of the way, who is a picture of the way. One who can vividly show the way and compel compelling obedience. That's why you know that as a man, say amen.
Amen.
Don't tell me the men are sleeping. Amen. Amen. How can you sleep in this kind of this? If I don't tell you, I'm meditating and you're close, you are not close, you are not meditating anything. I must see your eyes like this, like torchlight. Amen. You mustn't sleep, oh. Any woman, if a guy near you sleeping, let me jab them. And this one, that four men are even sleeping, staying together on the same seat. I don't know who jabbed the other now. Are you hearing me? Are you blessed today? It's a tall responsibility. Now, like I said, it is not a threat given to the woman to say, I can depart. No. That's not the essence here. Are you understanding it? That's not the mindset. That's not the spirit of the message. He said, don't depart. He said, but and if. Because also, we have found cases where women stay in. The man claims he's a believer, but now punching bag. Or whatever, he said, I mean, people go through all manner of things in the name of marriage. Alubend. Amen. 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 I know that that is not amongst us, and it will never be in Jesus' name. I say it will never be in Jesus' name. Thank God my mom is here. I said, even though my dad was not a born-again person or anything, all through my growing years, I never saw once that daddy raised his hand. I never for once. I don't know if she's here. I never saw it until he got born again in his later years and until he passed. I never. He can walk out of there. But it is an aberration for you to raise your... That hand must go up to your body forever. And Daddy Gujuku even went further. That it is not only your hand that you go. There are certain things that you are not permitted to say. Even if they say it to you, you are not permitted to say it back to them. Hey, yes. There are many things they will what? And thank God, you know our women are blessed. Say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's no license to keep talking anyhow.
Yes,
but even if it does happen, that's why you are the savior of the body. That's why what? Can I hear the men say, that's why you are the savior of the body? The men are not talking again. Women, help me to preach to them. Say, that's why you are the savior of the body. Tell them very well. Say, that's why you are the savior of the body. If you don't have a mumora, then what are you saving? Amen. There are things that they will say to you that you are not permitted. Not because you can't do it, but because you'll be breaking the law of the way. You be what? You'll be breaking the law of the way. So it's not even about raising your hand. It's about opening your mouth. It's about what? Opening your mouth. Then they will now leave it further. You are not even supposed to take the thoughts. They will now what? Leave it further. It's not even about raising your hand. It's not even about opening your mouth. It's about taking the thoughts. that you are not even supposed to think it in your mind and in your heart. God, don't let it stay 1 second in that place. Defy your sanctuary. Are you understanding? Don't let it stay one second. Not even that you are brooding. You know, Joseph was brooding over in his heart how to privily put Mary away and was thinking about it and had to think about it till night before the angel came and said, guy, don't hesitate to take this one because what he has is of the Holy Ghost. It will get to a measure of cleaning. Say cleaning. They will have cleansed you that even to take it, to take that thought for 1 minute, Holy Ghost won't allow you. She said it, but God will raise us men. I said, God will raise us men. I said, God, women, please help me. If they are not saying amen, please help us say, God will raise the men. Amen. Amen. Because a whole lot is hanging around that masculinity that you are seeing. It's not just a gender. It's a work. It's a work. It's an assignment. It's an assignment. It's an assignment. It's an assignment that God expects every one of us to be able to adhere to. So you see that the word preaching equal rights, there's no equal rights in salvation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's no what? It is an aberration. It's because man has failed to interpret God and God's intent that Satan is creating advocacy for women's rights and all of those nonsense. Because in the beginning, when the man stands in his place, as God ordained it, there won't be need for all these things. Because the man, by raising, is a protector, is a nurturer, is one who is nourishing. By reason of design, construct, raising, that is his assignment. It's been said many times, especially in our circle, that what Satan wanted for man didn't prosper until the man particular. When Eve ate the fruit, nothing happened. Their eyes was not open. Was not at it. Their eyes did not open. Nothing happened. But immediately Adam took it, something happened. So sometimes pressure can overwhelm our support system. But until you license it, it doesn't become the law that runs the whole system. So God still gave the final approval, the right of final approval to you. You see, what it makes to be a man is a lot. What it makes to be a man is a lot. Now, where am I going to? That the family, the marriage, when contracted according to the law of God, runs the law of life. Say, the marriage, when contracted according to the law of God, runs on the law of life. In fact, what Peter calls the wife is that he's a fellow heir with you of the grace of life. Are you understanding what I mean? She's a fellow heir with you of the grace of life. That means that, you know, what runs your union is transactions in life. Transactions in life. And like I said, the principal responsibility of family. Say family. Say family. The structure of the family is that there is head and there is body. Say there is head. The structure of the... That's why you must understand the concepts of God. Let's see 1 Corinthians 11. We are looking at marriage, family, the church, and then the community life. Amen. Are we blessed this morning?
Yes, sir.
Are we blessed this morning?
Yes, sir.
Say amen.
Amen.
No. Go back to verse 5 there, about quickly. Okay. Thank you. Verse 3. Start from verse 2. Sorry. Thank you. Okay. Now, he said, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man." Again, taught this in the woman question. "Is not the head of every woman," as in every lady on the street, "is the head of each wife is our husband." Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. The head of the wife is our husband. Amen. "And the head of Christ is what? God." Let's read down. "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head." "But every woman that prayed or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is all as even one as though you were shaving." Thank God. We know all of the teaching concerning that was not talking about scarf. Amen. I don't think we need to go into all of those teaching now. Amen. Do we all understand that? That he's not talking about scarf. He's talking. Go to, is it verse 12 or verse 15? Is it 12, 13 or 15 there? So let's just resolve that for the sake of those who may not understand. Is it 13? Quickly. 15. Let me check 15 quickly. Yes. So, amen. So, when they are talking about covering here, they are not talking about covering of the air. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let me just resolve that quickly. It said, every man praying or prophesying, having his head. Where? Touch your head. Touch your head. Your head is not your hair. Your head is this old face from this neck upward. Abi? So if you want to obey these scriptures literally, you must cover your whole head. You must do hijab. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding? But your hair is given as a covering for the head. So, are you understanding what the Bible says? Read that verse 15. "But if a woman have long hair, it is glory for her, for the hair is given to her for a covering." The hair covers the head. So, they didn't say you should wear a scarf. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, this passage was not talking about air covering as in scarf. It's talking about staying under authority. Are you understanding it? So, what I'm trying to drive out from this passage is the structure of the home. That when God constituted family, God did not, it's not a marriage of equals. Not equals as in maybe one is better than the other. No. It's not in that. It's issue of order. Are you understanding it? It's issue of what?
Order.
In order, they are not equals. That there is a flow of authority. There is a flow of command. There is a flow. There is a flow. For it to be a family, for it to be a home, there is that order. The head of the wife is the man. Not because of his masculinity, not because he has money, not because he has better paycheck, not because he has anything, but because of God's design. Inherent in God's design. Are you understanding? Now, that doesn't mean he is better. Are you understanding it? Many of us in our place of work, sometimes you can be more knowledgeable than your boss. But when the MD wants to hear a report, he's not able to hear it from you. It's the HOD that what represents the department. And whatsoever you have done, it is the department that has what? Who did it is not the business. Are you understanding it? Who did it is not the business. If and where that is necessary, it will be called to remembrance. But the primary issue is that the department is doing what they need to do. And the person that will go and represent the department is what? HOD. In this case, the person who is representing is the man. Say the man. Said the man is the head of the what? Of the woman. Now go to Ephesians chapter 5. That headship, you will see what it says. Amen. Say the man is the head of the woman, the head of the wife, and the savior of the body. Look at. Are you seeing this? For the husband is the what? Head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Colon. What does colon mean? We have said this before in this church. Amen. Meaning that I'm explaining what headship is. So headship, say amen. Headship is what? Headship is what? I say that headship is not the person that decides everything. It's not the person whose word is always final. Are you understand it? Headship doesn't mean that I am the one whose word is always final in this home. Headship means savior. And sometimes to be head, you have to let your grounds go. Are you understanding? Sometimes to be head, you have to what? Sometimes to be head, you have to allow somebody else to win an argument. Because to drive salvation. Are you understanding it? So the concept of head that we have known is, that's why I said that he that will be the head, let him be the servant of all. Because he said that in the world, the one that who is the head is what? Is a malefactor. But not so with you. That anyone that will be the head, let him be the servant of all. Meaning that the servant of all that he's talking about is let him work for the prosperity of salvation. Are you understanding it? So, husbands are ministers of salvation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Just like Christ. You know, Christ is the head of the church. But it is not everything that Christ wants that goes sometimes. Sometimes to see, because to work salvation, this boy is asking for tomato. And tomato is not the best, but if I don't give him tomato, I can lose him. So he gives tomato while he's looking for the best way to save. Are you understanding? So, headship is not a garment of authority. It's not just a garment. There's the authority aspect, amen. But it is primarily a responsibility of saving. So the person upon which God entrusts the principal work of salvation in a home is the husband. That be my representative driving the agenda of salvation. And to drive the agenda of salvation, you must be able to love, lay down your life, tolerate, endure, persevere, suffer long until the project of salvation is accomplished in this home and in this household. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? Now, say amen. One of the issues that often come with the issue of the home, the family, is also provision. We talked about decision making. And we talked about sometimes the decision of the child self is the one that will hold sway. Sometimes the decision of the wife is the one that we hold. As long as salvation is not in jeopardy. One of the things I learned from Pastor Thompson years ago, I think I've said it here before, was that the rule of thumb that he uses to live, which I found very, very instructive, is that I don't insist on anything as long as it doesn't jeopardize salvation. I only get to insist and take my stand when I see that it can be injurious to the work of salvation. The only time when I will probably insist and be firm. Now, I won't say I've been faithful to that 100%, but I am trying and I'm learning. Are you understanding? So, being the man is not, I am the one that will decide everything. Everything must, sometimes they won't even ask you before they decide. Hello? How many of us have been faced with the... Sometimes the decision has been taken and they are just informing you. I'm like, eh. And sometimes inside of you, like, maybe they ought to come and ask me first. How many of us have felt like that before? Okay, I think all the husbands have gone vacation inside. He's like, she be. When you know your role, that you are not the approving officer. Are you understanding? You are not what? Necessarily the approving officer. Is it good to run things through your husband? Is it good? Maybe if Eve had gone to consult with Adam before she ate the thing and said, you know, there's a tendency that maybe, I'm just saying maybe, I'm not saying it's a doctrine, no, that maybe they will, Adam will say, don't let us even try it. No, but by the time Eve was coming, she already had evidence that nothing was okay. I didn't die now. Look, I've eaten it. So, Adam like, God, they said, nothing happened. Look at me. Nothing happened. But God didn't, nothing happened. Look at me. He said, we'll just become wise as God. Look at me. I've eaten it now. Nothing has happened. But he didn't know that really, really. But if probably she hadn't eaten it, I just brought her, look at, can we eat this food? Satan said, please, don't let us try it though. Because they don't know the consequence, what will happen. But by the time she has eaten, it's like, she already have already evidence that nothing do me. They brought me down. I'm like, but funny. Will I say sense did this thing? The answer. So, I'm not saying that that's how it happened. I'm just playing out in my comic mind. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding me? Yes, so, sir. What I'm saying that there's a probability that if they had discussed it, maybe. And there's a probability that they would have been like Ananias and Sapphira also. That they would have sat down together and said, look, this thing, do you understand it? So, but I wasn't there, and God has not given me a revelation of what happened there. Amen. So I'll just stick to what was written. Amen. But what I'm saying is this. It's good to run things. Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there is what? Safety. Do you understand? There's safety. So, it's good, but if it doesn't happen, because some people also drive it to an extreme, that's like, no matter what, then some people are beautiful. I've heard of cases where somebody went to go and change the school of the children without informing the other spouse, and it's not as if they traveled, or the school of the children have changed. We sleep in the same house. We didn't travel. We didn't fight. I just don't like their school again. Amen. You know, sometimes when you're talking with people, you'll be surprised at the things that bring chaos in the home. Some of the problem is not born again. It's a problem of foolishness. I say, it's a problem of what? Foolishness. When I say foolishness, you know that wisdom doesn't come served with salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wisdom doesn't what? When you get born again, even with the Holy Ghost, even when you get the Holy Ghost, it is not It is not a package that came with it. It's a special order. You have to what? You have to order for it specially. Some people have not ordered for it. That's why the Bible says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. So if you lack wisdom, Paul had to pray for a church that God will give them spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So if it comes naturally, they won't need to ask for it. So you can lack wisdom. Some people, I've seen cases where you just know that this couple lack, the man lack wisdom, the woman lack wisdom, the children lack wisdom. Everybody's a bundle of confusion. They are believers, but no wisdom. When I mean wisdom according to truth, because wisdom is justified by our children. Wisdom is justified by our children. He said, when the axe is blunt, much strength is needed, but wisdom is profitable to direct. You just know that this person lacks wisdom. The way this person is going, he will soon enter trouble. He will soon enter trouble. And the problem is a problem of wisdom. I was also told of a situation where, I think Bishop David, the brother was sharing it. They gave house rent to wife. She went to go and sow it as seed in church. He gave house rent to wife. He went to go and sow it as seed in church. Clap for yourself. Mommy Gio. Amen. Is it good to give? Yes. But is it wisdom that instructed that? No. No. Just lack of wisdom. No, the husband followed her to church. The husband followed her to church. The church had to make a refund. Yes. Unless a home will scatter. You know, sometimes that's why, as pastors, sometimes you have to be careful. When I manage the church account, and when I see an unusual flow from a particular source, I call you. How many people have I called and asked, where did this money come from? I've called. When I see this money is not, now probably as the church is growing, I can't monitor everything again. But if I see a flow that is not considered, I'll call you. But what? Explain. You used to give 10,000 naira tithe. Then the next day you give 100,000 naira. I want to know. Say, along badura wani. No. Because you will become people. You become people. That something just ends. Please, I want to know. Which one did happen? Let me know. Then when you now explain, okay. I will give thanks to God. All to God be all the glory. Because sometimes, if you don't ask some people some questions, some things will go bad, and you'll be giving testimony in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You'll be giving testimony in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, I was saying that some people, it's just foolishness. For example, I give personally, but when I want to make major giving, and probably that's why our council, there should be a level of liberty to give and all of that. But when I know that this giving will affect our home, or it's a, I come and I've, sorry, this is what the Lord is laying upon my heart. You know, sometimes you can just have 3,000, 5,000, 1,000 naira. You may not need to... daddy. But you know that this thing will affect our home. Is our home is our, this is what the Lord is saying. What should we do? I feel so strongly we should do it. I feel so strongly we should do it. But please trust me. Just so that we are on the same page on the matter. Because it can cause issues. Amen. It can cause what? In fact, at a point in time, when the children are of age, you should call them and sit them down. Yes. At a point in time. Because it doesn't, it's not that you are seeking their permission. It exposes them to the ways and the judgments of God. It exposes them to what? The ways and the judgment. When they have come of age, this is the reason why we are, this is what we have to do. Sometimes they will ask questions. But they see as it plays out. They see as you probably go through contraction together. And then when God supplies grace, or there is a response. Now, it's a training in the way. They are learning life experiences. They are learning by experience. What did some many times parents go through things, even spiritual ones, and shield them from the children. So the children grow up, they are not aware of anything. They are not aware. Not because, but it is good to instruct them. And that's what God told the children of Israel. He said, when you break the unleavened bread, he said, every second month, break your unleavened bread. Then when your children are, why are we eating bread without them? Say, you now explain to them. So it's an ordinance forever. It's an ordinance that the head of the family will sit there, the wife, and all the household, and there will be explanation. So at some time, before the children come of age, they may be shielded from some things, which is above their stature. But as they are coming of age, it is essential that gradually, why we do what we do. Why? So that the culture of the house or the culture of the way is implanted by understanding, not just instruction. Let's go. They understand why we do what we do. They understand why we do what we do. You see, for the children of Israel, a generation came that they did not know anything. What happened? The culture of getting them to know was interrupted. And that thing, that commandment, it was the family unit that God gave instruction for to be doing that thing. So where Satan attacked the children of Israel first in the wilderness was in the family. That a culture that should raise up a memorial of the way that the Lord has been leading them in the wilderness and why God is leading them in that way was abolished. Father was doing their own things. Mother doing their own things. They are seeking a different law. Living for different purposes. Pursuing their career. Then the old system began to break down. Then a generation arose that did not even know God at all. See, if the work that God is doing amongst us must continue, God must help us to have tight family units. I say, God must help us to have what? Tight, solid family units. Homes that are knitted together and that are being raised in the way of the Lord. It's not just moral values I'm talking about. I'm talking about way. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing when you get a father or a parent who can train you in the way. Kai. It's a great blessing. Great what? Great blessing. When you get parents who can parent you in the way. Not the way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way that it should go. Because there is the way that God is ordained that every man should go. That is our role. That is what God ordained that we should train in. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Are we going to building up gradually together? Are we building up gradually together? Now, I will come to the issue of parents. I'm going somewhere. I don't know. Like I said, we'll go as far as we can go today. And if we get to a complete convenience place, even if we don't exhaust it, we'll stop and then we'll continue next community service. Is that okay with us? Praise the name. I said I will sit down, but let me just say amen. Amen. Now, Ephesians chapter 6. Some of us might know those things before, but it's important that we reiterate it. Amen. 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 Now, remember, Paul had to teach all of these things. And there are reasons why Paul taught them. There are reasons why Paul taught them. If we don't understand why these things are there, we will violate the law of the house or the law of the way, which is ordained to run every family. I say, the law that should run every family is the law of the way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We will violate it. Now, look at what it says. Children, obey what? Your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then, honor your father and mother, which is what? With a promise. The question I want to ask is this. Are children meant to obey their parents whatsoever they say? I want to hear your answer loud and clear. I want to hear your answer loud and clear. Why do you say so? He said what? Now, the reason I'm saying these things is God will help us to divide lines from lines. Because sometimes cultural encumbrances can tie us and offend us from the way that we should go in. And some people have made the word of God void because of tradition from fathers. And really, we are not disorderly. Amen? We are not what? We are not disorderly. And I think I've emphasized it time without number, and I will emphasize it again. Your children, that's why it is good to show them the way of the Lord. And for you also to walk in the way of the Lord. You know, because sometimes I tell myself that if I don't continue in the way of the Lord, one day my children too will defy me. And I will have to live with the consequence. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If I don't what? One day, my children will what? Defy me. Because I have tied them to the Lord. Whether I continue or not, I have what? Tied them to the Lord. I have tied them to the Lord. Now, sometimes I've seen people mumble these two things together. Obedience and honor. Where is it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I've seen parents instruct their children to do bizarre things. I said, bizarre things. That when you hear, you say, eh? So the Lord who wrote scriptures knows that sometimes, in fact, in many occasions, the judgments of parents are not according to truth. Now, the balance for us is this. Under no guise, I've said it repeatedly, under no guise and under no ground are you made or allowed to dishonor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But when he was talking about honor, he didn't give any condition. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you were talking about what? Honor. He didn't give any condition. And that's why we say, under no circumstance are you permitted to dishonor your parents. Under what? No circumstance. Are you what? To dishonor. Not by your actions. Not in your words. Not even in your thoughts. What did I say? Not even in your thoughts. Some of us, you wish you were born by another parent. You wish what? Kai, I just wish Uncle Happy were my daddy. Kai. Oh, Jesus. I would just be fine. Who even sent me to this family, Seth? You are saying it in your mind, though. Especially when there is financial challenge. Rarely have I seen people complain when their family is affluent. It's only people who have light, who God has shown so much light, that they say, in fact, this old money thing, Seth, this old family, this thing, I'm even tired of it. That I just want to be who God wants me to be. But rarely, very, very rarely, will you see people complain of their family when they are affluent. But when there is financial difficulty, these people want to kill me with all their problems. In fact, that's dishonorable. You know, without that family, you won't be what you are. Without what? Without that family, you won't be what you are. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, like I said, it may seem as though we are flogging this thing again, but we can't overemphasize it. He said, children, obey your what? Parents in the Lord. That means the instruction of parents should be in the Lord. Are you understanding it? The what? Instruction of parents should be in the Lord, or according to light. According to light. According to light. According to light. We owe it to our children. We owe it to God. We owe it to the person that instituted marriage. Are you understanding it? To lay. That's why Every parent should be seeker of light. What do I mean seeker of light? Looking for the judgment of God. Because as long as the judgment of the Lord is not made clear, there is no place where you can put your ground, your feet firmly upon. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can't put your feet firmly upon any place until the judgment of God according to light has been revealed. That's why every parent is a seeker of God, seeker of truth, seeker of light. Amen. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So there are times that obedience can be wrong. There are times that obedience can be wrong. But there is never a time when dishonor is right. Are you understanding? There is what? Never a time when dishonor is right. Amen. Are we gradually progressing? Are we gradually progressing? I don't want to rush too much. And I want us to understand, because these are things that govern, we relate to it day after day. Now, when I'm in a facing with some of these things, now it's applicable both to children and to parents. Amen. That sometimes when I tell folks, if you have to disagree with your parents respectfully, with all humility, disagree without giving a ground for dishonor. What did I say? If you have to disagree with your parents respectfully, with all humility, disagree without giving any room for dishonor. So the culture of honor is what we must teach in our home. The culture of what? Honor. So you see that honor, the way of honor is a training in the way. The way of what? Honor is a training in the way. It's a training in the way. It's not just something I demand to be given. It's something I exemplify and exude. And then something that I can impart to those who are following me in the way. How do I do? I honor the Lord first. Then I honor everyone that God, in fact, the Lord said, honor all men. So, are you understanding what I'm saying? These are culture. Say culture. Culture of honor. I was listening to I think it's a podcast, and somebody was saying that, she doesn't understand this generation, that in their family, the way they greet themselves, Oloshi, do you understand? Onyara, Anala. Like, he said, when they are behaving like that, that's when they are free. That's when they are themselves with themselves. I say, this is bad. Because the person was attacking because I think she saw a post online, and people were attacking that. How can husband and wife be saying foul words to themselves? And she said she was trying to justify it, saying that in our family where he grew, that is how they greet themselves. That even in fact, when they are abusing themselves like that, that's when they are free with themselves. They call this one goat. They call this one rat. They call this one. And I'm like, Jesus. And that's what you are advocating for. That's, some people are smiling because that's what they do in their house. Amen. No, it's, so that's why you should not be fooled by church. Get to some people's house, just sitting there 5 minutes. You will become aware of an entirely new. You know, some things that some people say, to even use it as example self is insulting. Do you understand? To call it out, not because you are calling somebody, just to describe what they said. It's as if they are pouring filth on you. We must create an atmosphere that is honorable, that is full of respect and regard. Are you understanding? In the way you approach people, in the way you talk to, in reverence. When that lady said it, I said that you have a bad culture in your home. It's a very, very bad culture. Call this one. See this one. You see a goat head. And you feel you are playing that we are just ourselves. Oh, it's my brother. It's very, very funny. It's very, very, very funny. In fact, some people say, this is a big fool. You didn't hear what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5. That when you call your brother a fool, you are in danger of hellfire. I don't know. Some people are. I don't know. Do you understand it? You must trade in honor. Use honor to live. Even if that has been your conversation in time past. You should wash your mouth now. Eh? You should what? Wash your mouth and be clean. The way some people call their children. Jesus. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say honor. It's in the home that children should learn honor. Honor for fellow men. Honor for elders. Honor for God. One of the discipline that we should teach children is how to regard presence, even though they don't see God. And you understand what I'm saying? Honor for presence. That inculcates that ever abiding presence of God. And then when they come together as the church, they must that culture of reverence. It's the responsibility of parents primarily. Sometimes it's because the parents themselves are irreverent. So they have nothing to teach the children. So sometimes you are there. You see children of pastors. They put leg like they're playing game. Church is going on. Children of pastors, they are on phone playing game. It's because somewhere something was not taught, cultured from the scratch. There is no honor for God, no reverence, no reverence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Are we blessed? Amen. He said, honor your parents, honor your children, obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Go ahead. That, can we read it together? You're not reading it well. Can you read it very well? Is this Old Testament or New Testament? This is, there's no shortcut to this promise. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is no what? You want it to be well with you. You want to live long. The secret is what? I didn't hear you. You want it to be well with you. You want to live long on the face of the earth. Honor. Not, this one is not honor for all men. This one is not honor to God. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. These commandments did not become obsolete because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding me? I said, this commandment did not become what? Obsolete because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is valid through time and what? Eternity. As long as we are here. He said, honor your father and mother that it may be well with you and that thou mayest live long on earth. And that place where he said about, I think that should be Psalm 19 there about, he said, who is he that loveth life and goodness? Let me what? Keep his lips for what? From evil. And his lips that they what? Speak no guile. Let him seek peace. Let him ensue it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So, the secret to long life is not pleading the blood of Jesus. It's not prayer for long life. Say honor. Honor your father and mother. First, it will be well with you. It will be well with you. And you will live long. So you see how Satan succeeded in cutting the days of men short. Some sicknesses, afflictions are a pure product of dishonor. They don't need to say anything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They don't what? They don't need to say anything. Because there is a violation, the earth has its code, and it begins to revolt against such a soul. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The earth has its own law. It begins to revolt against such souls. That's why I say, under no circumstance must you dishonor your parents. Not by your conduct, not by your words, not even in your thoughts. Not even in your thoughts. The honor of being the vessel through which God brought you to this place can be given to no other. Are you understanding it? That honor of being the vessel, the conduit through which God brought you to this earth. You, whether they are believers, whether they are unbelievers, whether they are killers, whether they are 419. Are you understanding? No matter if they are the chief ritualist of your village, you still hold them this. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You still do what? you violate it, the heart will revolt against you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Some infirmity that cuts short the days of men will naturally depart from you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Will naturally depart from you because you keep certain laws. Some infirmity that naturally what? Will depart from you because you keep certain laws. Amen. Am I making you sleep? I'm wasting your time. Are you getting blessed? Should I continue? Why are we saying this? You have a bundle of people that come to church. Honor pastor. Honor brethren. Then when they are at home, they despise their parents. Despise their siblings. As in, some even talk ignobly to their mother. Some talk what? Ignobly to their parents. You are not cheating anybody. You are cheating yourself. You are with your own hand cutting the length of your days. You are with your what? Own mouth cutting the length of your days and making it ill with yourself. Sincerely. Some, because your parents behaved one way, one kind, then you have the audacity to take their rebuke in your mouth. You are not their judge. Who is it that judges another man's servant? Before his master, he stands or he falls. Behold, he's able to make him stand. It's not your business. They are accountable to God for their whole life. The privilege of being here, they've brought you. Full stop. Should I even shock you? Should I shock you? Should I shock you? Do you know that they are not the ones that have the principal responsibility of providing for you? Can I say that again? Can I say that again? The people that betted you, they are not the ones saddled with the principal responsibility of taking care of you. So, all this nonsense talk. Why, if they know they can't take care of me, why did they bring me into this house? Who told you it's because they needed, God is looking for somebody to take care of you, that's why he sent you to them. No, God needed you here, that's why he brought you. How he will sustain you is his business, not theirs. Yes. Otherwise, when they raped that woman, God wouldn't have allowed it to conceive. Because you know that it's an absentee father. That man, person will never how many of our children are in the orphanage? Amen. That's why scripture says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then will the Lord take me. Stop. Your parents, your barrel, I'm not advocating for irresponsible parents. But I'm just saying that there is no ground permitted under heaven which you must dishonor them. Even when they are the most, you know, some people, their parents are the perfect picture of irresponsibility. Maybe sleeping around and you are just ashamed to say that, this is my mother. If they said, your mother, she's not at home. I don't want to be known together with this woman. You are blessed. Amen. The responsibility and the labor that us, even if their culture, their ways are not right, the honor of breathing you is one thing. The question is that they didn't raise you after their own ways. So you are, in a sense, you are not their child. But in a sense, you are their child. Do you understand it? So if the ways are not the ways of the Lord, glory, because God is raising you in his own ways. Do you understand it? But the honor necessary, require, please give to them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Give to them. Because it's tied to your what? Blessing. Say it's tied to my blessing. Can you say it's tied to my blessing? Say it's tied to my blessing.
He said, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. The next verse, quickly. Then he said, that ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and what? Admonition of the Lord. Say, bring them up in the what? Amen. 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 To the younger ones, how many times have you been angry with your dad? How many times? Countless times. I've realized that some of the places where anger, bitterness, hatred breeds in the family is from childhood. Especially when children begins to become conscious, you just get to start seeing things that you feel are not right. Or sometimes it's even the way daddy is treating mommy. Am I correct? Sometimes the way daddy is treating, sometimes the circumstance of the world, you just feel that this man is not ruling well. And sometimes that bitterness can be in the soul. That hurt, that anger can trouble a soul for many years. I'm not going to talk about fathers primarily. I want to talk to you. I think I saw something in Proverbs 27, which I just felt is instructive. Amen. Oh, sorry. Is he here? Okay, yes. Verse 4. Proverbs 7, verse 4. Can we read together? Can we read it again? Who has any other translation, even more contemporary translation? I want us to see some things together. Then I will tangent off into something. Who has something? A more contemporary translation. Quickly. Amen. Are we together? Amen. Bible in basic English said, wrath is cruel, angry feeling is an overflowing stream, but who does not give way before envy? Amplify. Wrath is cruel, anger is an overwhelming flood, but who is able to endure and stand before the sin of jealousy? Amen. Now, when I read this, I now understood when the Bible was talking about, in as much as they strive and jealousy, are you not yet carnal? Then in James, when you say that, James, when he said that where there is strife and envy, there cometh all manner of evil work. Amen. Now, but that's not where I'm going to. It's the cruelty of wrath that I want to talk about today. Amen. Is the cruelty. Say, wrath is cruel. Say, wrath is cruel. Say, wrath is cruel. Can you say, wrath is cruel? Don't get provoked to wrath. And you understand what I'm saying? Don't what? Avoid it. If they are pushing you, run away. If they are pushing you, what? Run away. Run for your life.
You know, the way they wanted to push Jesus and push him over the cliff, and he just escaped. Run away. How do I mean you should run away? Give excuse for them. That's how you run away. Say what? Excuse them. Excuse. Say excuse them. Say excuse them. If you don't know how to escape, you'll be caught in offense. Offense of sibling rivalry. You know, sometimes it's you have a scuttle with your sibling. Then the position that daddy or mommy took just, you know, maybe they don't have full details. Then sometimes parents are not wise. Children feel the sense they love one person more than the other. How many of us growing up, you felt that way? You just felt, oh, Jesus. Thank God mommy is here. No, I wasn't passing very much when I was in school. And then my immediate elder brother is the promised child. So, he's a promised child. And he's just sharp from the beginning. And so, me too, I don't try. I said, me too, I don't try. I wasn't encouraged. It was, you know, some people, they are just bright from the some people, they don't even show any sign of encouragement. And God will just give us mastery. Do you understand it? Thank God for them. They did all they could according to their own ability and the measure of light that they had. But I remember feeling very, very absurd towards my immediate elder brother because I just felt that somewhere there was just this, you know, Akin's pa academics. He was just there. And also activity in church, he was the first person to join boys' brigade. Join him. So it was just like he was just pa. And here was just this one. You just pick your result. Red. You know, when they pick your result, it's just and some parents are not too wise in how to administer it because you see promise in the natural. Sometimes even in the way, if you are parenting according to the judgment of salvation, you know how to condition expectations. Are you understanding it? It's not easy. It's a whole lot, but there's a lot of skill in expectation. In expectation. It remains small. Esau would have killed Jacob. And everything because of the right parents' decision. Because of a shown favoritism towards one. Even when the Lord has spoken. Even what? Even when the Lord has spoken. Do you know that one of the things that surprised me most, sir, that Isaac felt he was going to die. And then he said, bring me venison. Then Rebecca did all her show. Is that not so? Do you know that he still did not die until after 21 years? He still lived an extra 21 years. 21 years! At least in the minimum. Because Jacob ran away, spent 40 years for the two wives, spent another 7 years for his flock. Before he came, he still came back and met Isaac alive. Now, which blessing blessed Isaac? Is it the blessing of Isaac or the blessing of the angel? Why was he looking for blessing? If Isaac had blessed him, are you understanding me? Am I despising the blessing of Isaac? No. But even though Isaac blessed him, something did not rest. Something did not rest until he met with God. That was when they changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Are you understanding me? So sometimes when God says something, parents also execute it themselves. They say, this promised child, then you are putting setting him forward in everything because of... Let us be Mary. Mary put it in her heart and allow watch God work it out. Everything that God said, she just kept it in her heart. She didn't do one thing to hate it. If God said it, let God work it out himself. Sometimes parents are not wise. And that culture brings ill feeling. You see a person have a root of bitterness. Now, I'm not justifying your anger. I'm not justifying. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. In that family, they've shown me. I said, I will show every one of them. I was there. Amen. I was there. That you, Satan can fill heart with rot. And sometimes it will fill you with false hope. When I break through, I'm the Joseph of this house. How many of you believe you are the Joseph of your house? Virtually everybody believe they are the Joseph. Amen. I say parents need to be wise. Even when God has witnessed things in your heart, let there be no show or semblance of favoritism that you prefer this one to this one. Or that this one is more valuable. Otherwise, it can what? It can be the very ground that Satan begins to breed and fill the heart. But I was saying that don't provoke your, you know, it was that same decision that provoked Esau to go and marry the daughters of the Canaanites because of the decision of the parents. Yes, he had sold his birthright, but when he saw the display of what the parents did, he undertook to, I will provoke them. Then they said, send this one away so that he won't go and marry of the children of the land. Send him to our brother Laban's house. Amen. Did you get me? Which Genesis chapter. Amen. Thank you. 28, thank you. I know, is this 28? Thank you. Where is Esau? 28. Yes, Esau. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that he blessed him, saying, give him charge of him. Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And Jacob obeyed his father and his mother. Esau, seeing the daughters of the Canaan, pleased not Isaac his father. Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahal, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebajot, to be his wife. And Jacob went down to Beersheba and went towards Aram. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So what I'm saying is this, that parents have to be wise. Hallelujah. Because provoking to wrath is not, say amen.
Amen.
Provoking to wrath is not necessarily beating to anger. Do you understand it? Sometimes it is show of favor one to another. You just feel that this one is giving me peace much more than another. And that thing can be a provocation. Amen. It can what? It can be a provocation. It seems as if I'm talking beyond all our heads, but that you are not a parent now doesn't mean that you will not be a parent. And that you are not a parent doesn't mean that some people are not parents yet. So don't let us sign that. Amen. Are we blessed? Now let's see something. Let's see something in the book of Matthew chapter 18. I'll try to round up now. Maybe we'll continue some other time, but let me just lighten upon the place where God wants us to lighten upon today. From verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, okay, Can we start from, okay, yeah. Verse 6. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom offense cometh. Verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or having two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9. If thy hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than to having two eyes and be cast into hellfire. Go ahead. And take it to thyself that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto thee that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Before we continue, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
One of the things that we must also culture is the awareness of supernatural presence. Or the angelic around us. Amen. It's good to build an awareness. Awareness around the home. Awareness in the first instance, because they speak of this in two senses. The first sense is that don't be weary to entertain strangers. Because some have entertained angels unawares. That means it's not angels that all angels that are winged. Are you understand what I'm saying? It's not all angels that are shining like light. And are you understand what I'm saying? There are angels that come in human form, and receiving them is actually receiving one sent of the Lord. Are you understanding it? What I mean, sent of the Lord, angel, an angelos is one sent of the Lord, or is an apostolos. In a sense. Are you understanding me? He's a sent one. And when you receive one, some strangers are sent of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some strangers are what? And some strangers are sent from the devil. That's why discernment is apt. They are angels too. So, but the issue is discerning, receiving. Awareness of the supernatural. But what Matthew chapter 18 is saying is that don't despise any of these little ones, because their angels are ever before the face, the Father, beholding his face day by day. And it's not only because of the little ones. When they were talking about authority also, covering of the head in 1 Corinthians 17, they said it is also because of the angels. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So many things that we do in the house is because of supernatural presence. The way that we are in is one that is not ordinary. Is much more than what meets the eyes. There are angels. There are angels of the way. There are angels that are looking at and beholding our order. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And they said, the angels of this one, yes, I know there's a revelational sense in which we interpret these scriptures. Little ones, oh, they behold, thank God for that. I'm taking it in the literal sense. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Literal sense that these little ones, they are angels. Do always behold the face of my Father. Look, my Father which is in heaven. That there is a continuous obligation on their heart. So don't offend them. Don't despise them. Amen?
Amen.
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 Say amen.
Amen.
Why? For the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. So what is their angel praying for? Salvation. Are you understanding? What their angels are beholding the face of the Father for is for salvation. It's for salvation. It's for salvation. It's for salvation. So don't despise them. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm saying that we must culture the not just supernatural awareness of beings, heavenly beings. Heavenly beings. I want every one of us to go and read that Roland Barthes, Angels on Assignment. Angels on Assignment. Every one of us should read it. Roland Barthes by, I think it's the story of Charles and Francis Hunter, written by Roland Barthes. How angels, how real the world. Now, there are many books on the world of angels, but many of them are tinted with excesses. But Roland Barthes is safe. Amen. It's not because that's the only book on the market, but that one is at least safe. Do you understand it? It's something that we must exercise ourselves. So sometimes the culture is raised from a child. And you know that all this Nickelodeon and everything, they want to raise them with another awareness. Ghosts. Yes. I began to see how some of these cartoons now, they'll tell you that it's your ghost. Yeah, all that some of these cartoons, you need to watch the cartoons that your children are watching. Some of the things that are peddled there are dangerous. As a very, very dangerous. I think it was Inka Abby's wife that was telling me when she was seeing on the YouTube one of those days. Just start hearing from the kitchen what how the ghost was saying that. I forgot what she says. They were telling the child, do not worry, that is the ghost that is talking to her. And she just ran out, eh? Then told her husband. They said, that's why for us, when we're young, when we had to download materials, the ones that we felt were safe, we downloaded it, then gave it to him. And he continued to feed that until at least there is age sense enough to be able to now approach some of these things themselves and all of that. But it is safe. We have the what I'm saying is this, that the world wants to create another awareness to them. And the world is not saying that they are too young. It's not saying that they are too young. At 1, 2, those they are strengths, they are putting it there so that they are aware of another world of spirit. You can also make them aware of angels. And you yourself as parents, be aware. Train them that the angel of the Lord can appear to us. The awareness they can know. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's the way I'm going to. Can we go down? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay. Let me jump. Yes. Yes. Verse 15. From verse 15. Moreover, if what? Thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and what? You know, in the early verse said, woe to the world because offense must come. We're dealing with offenses in the family now. Before we come to offenses, brethren. Amen. He said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him what? Go tell him his fault between what? And if he what? What will happen? So you see that actually is salvation transaction everywhere. So he said, if your brother what? Offend thee. Don't keep it in yourself. Don't what? Don't what? Don't what? If it's an offense against thee, don't keep it to yourself. Don't use it to grow while you did not expose it to him. Let me balance it. So what of the place of tolerance? What of the place of tolerance? Yes, they didn't say, go and spark for him. Are you understanding it? They didn't say what? But sometimes your brother that offended you, you don't even know that he offended you. Are you understanding it? He doesn't even know that he's in offense at all. But he is offended. Now, it's different from when you know that your brother had something against you. Now, go to Matthew chapter 5. Let's compare the two. When he say, if you come before the altar to give a gift, then you remember that your brother at odds against you. That one you are aware. And you understand what I'm saying? He said, you should leave your gifts there and then go and make amends with your brother. Is that not so? Verse 23 first, quickly. Amen. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest, say there, Holy Ghost remind you, say you don't mess up with somebody. Remember that what? Not you have something against them. Are you understanding me? Can we answer me?
Yes, sir.
It's not you that have something against somebody. You remember that somebody has something against you. That somebody's mind is not pure towards you. Whether you are in the right or wrong is not the question. Hello? Whether it is justified or it is not justified is not the question. He said, leave it. Then what? Then what? Leave thy gift before the altar. Don't take it. Go thy way. First, I love the word first. All those places where they put first. First, be reconciled to thy brother. Then come and what? Offer thy gift. Why? Because that thing affects the atmosphere. And you understand what I'm saying? That thing affects. But the one in Matthew chapter 18, your brother did not even know that they offended you. Are you understanding? Go back to Matthew chapter 18. It said, if your brother shall trespass against thee, sometimes they know, sometimes they don't know. It said, go tell him his fault between what? Thee and him alone. This is not out of anger. It is in a bid to what? Gain thy brother. Are you understanding it? So you see, he's salvation minded. Because you want to discontinue hurt. Are you understanding it? You don't want Satan to prevail. It's not because you cannot bear it. It's because you want healing for everybody. Okay, this is what was done. It's not as if I'm angry. But God, I just feel that God needs to help the two of us. Are you understanding? He said, and if you will hear thee, thou hast what? Gained thy brother. So it's wisdom of gaining your brother that God is teaching. Because God wants to gain every one of us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God wants what? Gain every one of us. Because sometimes I'm suffering in silence. So say I'm suffering in silence. And the person is walking in ignorance. And then you now find another scenario where this person is ordinary. And this person is telling every other person but this person that is offending. Have you seen that scenario? Everybody else. I'm just bearing it though. You're not bearing it. You're a telltale. You have not told him. And when they said tell him, they said alone. They said what? Alone. Remember, this person is your brother. They didn't say, if you go and offend somebody outside who is not a brethren, go to him alone. Do you understand? So Yara says, he said, brother, no pele yo. Do you understand it? At least they know that you are safe around brother. Are you understand? If you understand what to say, Shango. So are you understanding what I'm saying? Yara and brain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because a whole lot of life is about balance. Are you understanding what I'm saying? David brought trespass against him. Go tell him his fault. Between him, thee and him alone. And if he hear you, you have gained thy brother. 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 Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
God will give us wisdom to be able to gain our brethren.
Amen.
You know, it's not only our brethren that they want us to gain. They want us even to possess our own soul first. The way that we possess our soul is in patience. Are you understanding? In patience, Bible says, possess your own soul. That means you were not in possession of your own soul before. Something else is in possession. Are you understanding me? Something else is in possession. But how you possess your own soul is patience. You have to expire haste. One of the laws to expire what has occupied our soul before. One of the laws by which something that occupied our soul before is haste. And how to expire it is patience. Say patience.
Patience.
Patience is doing a lot in you, much more than you think. It's giving you back control over your soul. That's why one of the first things that God will win any man who is saving his soul from is haste. Haste. They will have to expire haste. Because that's where how you gain back control over that you have possessed your soul doesn't mean that it is saved yet. But you can now begin to tailor it to the according to the law of God in righteousness. They will expire haste. And it's the program of patience that's what does that. But to gain your brother, to what? To gain your brother, they are teaching you another law. Sometimes in love, you have to expose. Sometimes it's ignorance. You have to check whether the challenge is ignorance. Amen. Maybe this person is not even aware at all. Maybe this person is not even aware at all. You know, some people take offense with you. Imagine, she didn't call me for my birthday. I know. Have you even bothered to ask? Kilo Shele. So, I know already what happened. I know that the way she's been looking for me for the past 2 weeks, it's been suspicious. It's suspicious. You are leaving room for offense to grow and fetter. It happens both in the family, then it happens also much more in the wider community. But when it is nipped, when you start exercising like that from the family, you discover that it has little potential of growth, even in the church. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 16, thou hast gained thy brother. He said, but if you will not hear thee, then what? Take with thee what? One or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. This is looking for establishment so that the work can be done in your brother quickly. You are not looking for people to corroborate your point. Are you understanding it? You are looking for strength to save a soul. Because sometimes when we report things to others, it's people to corroborate our points that we are looking for. But this is the mind of a savior, looking for wisdom and wealth of salvation, how to gain our brother. Is reinforcement. If one shall chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. Are you understanding? You see how relationship is salvation minded. I want to gain. Now, there is offense, but I am not allowing that offense to gain roots. I'm not allowing it to fetter. I'm looking for ways by the wisdom of God to ensure that it doesn't thrive. I'm looking for ways by what? By the wisdom of God to ensure that offense does not thrive. Because if the root of bitterness grows, it will defile many. It will defile many. And we don't want defilement to spread. You know, even in our feast of charity as a church, defilement can spread. Are you understanding? Our feast of charity, defilement can spread. Defilement can spread. So take two or three months, so that amount of two or three witnesses. Then what? Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it what? To the church. This tell it to the church is... trust God for the corporate anointing that exists within the church through its leadership for the salvation of that one. Because darkness is dark. Blindness is blind. I say, when blindness veils a man's face, it can be so deep. But then if it's now realized that this person is now cooperating with the darkness as taking side, then you know that if this thing is beyond the strength of the church, I have done all within my power. You see that this parable was, this instruction was given in line with the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep. Do you understand it? So he's talking about how much we should go out to ensure that salvation prospers. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And that's how the home should be. That's how the church should be. That we must not be people to be known to be easily give up on our brethren, or to easily jettison the program of salvation for our brethren. One of the things we do in our natural families is this. That I remember my mom used to say that proverbs very, very well. Ogede dudu oyabusho, omoburuku oyalupa. Is that not so? Amen. For the non-Yoruba speaking people, meaning that you don't cut an unripe plantain and throw it away because it's not ripe. You wait patiently for it to ripen. Is that not so? So also a bad child, you don't flog him to death. Do you understand it? You are patient until there is change. Amen. So also, sometimes we exercise such patience naturally, even though many times it's not with the grace of life in the soul, because we are not doing that exercise according to the judgment of truth. Amen. But God much more wants us to prosper. Say amen. See, I see people are sleeping. Like, maybe I should just start random. Amen. Well, are you blessed today? Are you blessed today? Now, one thing that we must take home today, like I said, I intended that we'll be able to build up to talk more about family life and then go further into the church. But like I said, the marriage, the home, is a place where the culture life and the law of the way, which way? The way of truth, the way of righteousness, should be learned and trained. Is where the exercise and the practice should be. Is a holy ground where transactions of heavenly things are taking place. Amen. And we must contend for it. Say we must what? We must contend against offense. We must contend against strife. We must contend against unbelief. We must contend against wrath. We must contend against those things that brings defilement. It's not only works of the flesh. Yes, it's not only, yes, all of those things, the Lord will purify and purge us of them. But there are more subtle work. Amen. There are more subtle work that a man must be mindful of. I want you to understand that God placed you as an agent of salvation in your home. Say, God placed me. Say, God placed me as an agent of salvation in my home. I want you to place your hand on your chest. Say, God placed me as an agent of salvation in my home. And in my days, salvation will prosper. Say, salvation will prosper. Salvation will prosper. In Jesus' name. Say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Salvation. Every one of us, husband, wife, children, parents, salvation must be at the forefront. The decision as to the work that is taken must be salvation minded. The decision as to the place where the home is situated must be salvation centric. The schools that the children are going to go must be with salvation, how does it affect or prosper the journey of salvation? Where the decisions in a home is not centered around salvation, that home is already in error. That home is already in error. It will gradually spiral out. You know, a people can be so economic minded, like Naomi and what's his name? Elimelech. And what is instructing their movement is economic prosperity. You know this jackpot syndrome. Say jackpot syndrome. You know, there's nothing wrong with traveling abroad. How many of us know that? Say there's nothing wrong with traveling abroad. The question is, who is sending you? That's the question. That's the big question. Who is sending you? If it is not the Lord that is giving, if it is not salvation that is instructing that journey, it's a journey in frustration. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can go there and get wealthier. You can get bigger. Just like Lot, who saw the plains of Sodom. And for a time he was prosperous. But because it's not salvation that instructed that journey, doom will catch up with you. Elimelech for a while also was saved from scarcity. They had bread to eat, more than sufficient in Moab. But soon enough, Elimelech died. Mahlon died. Shilon died. Then Naomi realized that I went out full. I came back empty. Don't trade the salvation of God for natural prosperity. Are you understand? Sometimes where you are, maybe you didn't understand it. Naomi didn't know that she was full in the place where there was bread scarcity. You didn't get it. She said, I went out full, but there was famine there. So why did you leave when you were full in the land where there was famine? Then you went to the land of abundance. Then you came back empty. So she was full of something that she did not take note of until she lost it. When she now lost it, she now realized that really, really, I'm empty. And what is available in Moab cannot fill my emptiness. Are you understanding? That's what happens when we make decisions that are not salvation-centered. We lose the things that God has filled us with. Came back empty. By the time he remembered that God had visited Bethlehem, Satan has robbed her of things that are gracious. Are you understanding? We must be deliberate. We must be conscious. We must consciously exercise that. So when we are talking about patience, say patience. Say patience. Patience. Say patience. Patience. When that pastor is saying patient, or the pastor is saying patient, or they just say wait. They are helping you to possess your soul. They are helping you to what? Gain control of your soul back. Let's wait on it. It's a beautiful instruction. You know, many of us are like, hey, my pastor just say like, when you say that, it's not me or that I just like doing like this. I'm not a gamma lizard. Amen. It's just that if we do otherwise, in Kabaje, are you understand what I'm saying? If we do otherwise, things will spoil. And sometimes they will damage irreparably. Amen. Amen. Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? I will spend my life for God. Say, I will spend my life for God. I will spend my life for the prosperity of the counsel and the will of God. I will spend all my life. All my life, not for ministry, but pursuing the counsel of God, the counsel of God for my soul. I want you to bow your heads as we pray. I want us to bow our heads. I've not been able to go so far today, But I believe it's sufficient foundation. I believe it's sufficient foundation for us. I want to talk to Jesus. If at all you missed anything, young ones, you can tell Jesus to give you strength. Thank God for the privilege of knowing Jesus early and for the impact that knowledge, that acquaintance with him will have in your life, in marriage, in your conduct, even in your parents' home, how that it will help you to live according to the pattern of righteousness. There's some of you, you are the only one that is born again for now. You are the only one walking according to righteousness. You are in your family. And sometimes they say yours is too much. I want to comfort you. They spoke that concerning Jesus too. Bible says he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Yet he didn't faint in his mind. I don't want you to faint. Sometimes we face ridicules from brethren, from siblings, sometimes even from parents, sometimes harshness and hurt. But don't be provoked to wrath. Don't be provoked to wrath. It's all an assault of Satan to ensure that you offend. But God is bringing comfort to your heart today. God is bringing comfort to your heart. He's the God of all consolation who comforts us in all our tribulations so that we can, with the same comfort wherewith he has comforted us, comfort others also. He's bringing comfort to your heart. I'm saying to your heart, don't be weary. Don't be weary. Don't be weary. Don't be weary. Don't be drawn back. Don't be overwhelmed. He said, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let evil overcome you. Don't let evil overcome you. Don't let that which is evil overcome you, but overcome evil with good. Let evil be swallowed up of good. Let might arise on your inside. Let might arise on your inside. Let might arise on your inside. Let might be stirred up in your within. Instead of big bitterness and anger or despair, let love spring forth. Let love spring forth. Let joy unfathomable spring forth. Let patience, let long suffering spring forth from the depth of your soul. Shilomarasas. Saligaranashias. Yes. Yes. Paul said, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but not only so, we rejoice also in tribulations, knowing that tribulations, what can experience patience, patience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I pray for a baptism of love again. Love in your hearts. Love. A work of the Holy Ghost. A work of the Holy Ghost. A work of the Holy Ghost. Bible says, love covereth a multitude of saints. A multitude, not just some. Not just a few, multitude of them. Multitude. Let there be a spreading again of the love of God in your hearts by the Spirit. Love. Love.
love for daddy, love for mommy, love for your siblings. Love, 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 love from the Lord Jesus. Love. Love towards your husband. Love towards your wife. Love, 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 love unfeigned.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.